is the moment we need it the most. You kick up the leaves and the magic is lost. Tell me your discards fade to gray. Tell me your passion's gone away. And I don't need no care on. Stand in the line just to hit a new low. You're faking a smile with the coffee to go. Tell me your life's been way offline. You fall into pieces every time. And I don't need no care anymore. Cause you had a bad day. You tell me what.
It is indeed a bad day here on the Birds and the Berg football podcast. I am your host, Fred Halbig, and with me, as always, Jay. What's going on, man?
Man, it feels like week one all over again.
This is the first podcast we've had to endure where both of us have suffered a loss. The Eagles and the Steelers both went down in week two. They did not look good. Plenty of big-time injuries to talk about. But just, man, overall, just bad-looking football yesterday for the teams from Pennsylvania.
Was. Yeah. 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 Both sides is just awful. Quarterback play for both teams.
It's not great.
For at least one half for the Steelers was just,
Not great, but we're going to go over it. This is our recap show of the games from yesterday, so hang in there. It might not be pretty for the Steelers side. I don't know. I don't know what Jay's got for us. Last night I was ready to trash the Eagles, but after sleeping on it, I'm feeling a little bit better, but not great. So we'll start with the Steelers game in Pittsburgh. Jay, home opener. I thought it was going to be different. What happened, man?
Man, in that second half, it really looked like they might have a shot. But so they lose to the Seattle Seahawks 28-26.
Oof.
Fred, yeah, home opener, not pretty.
That's a tough one.
It's a really tough one. So first, let's hit the injuries. James Conner left early, knee injury. So far, we know nothing with any of these injuries. So we're going to wait later today or tomorrow in Tomlin's press conference.
I know Doug has a press conference at noon, but even then, he probably won't even.
Yeah, Steelers do Tuesday press conferences. So we'll have more info for you on later in the week. So James Conner down with a knee injury. Sean Davis with a shoulder injury. That's the second injury for him. This was his first game back. He didn't play in week one. So Vince Williams, hamstring, kind of hurts. And Anthony Ciccolo with a plantar fasciitis.
Okay.
So he doesn't do anything for us anyway.
Yeah, I'll get to that. He's going to be out for a while.
Yeah. Man, it was just really the tale of two halves, it seemed like. The biggest injury coming out is Ben Roethlisberger's elbow. After the game, reports came out saying that he had swelling in his elbow during the week. Didn't hear anything about that. Don't know how true it is, but
I mean, if he wasn't put on the injury report.
Isn't
that like a violation of some NFL
rule?
There
could be some issues with that.
Yeah.
But Ben played the whole first – I think he left during the last series of the first half, which Seattle had the ball. So he didn't miss any series in the first half for Steelers. He was 8 for 15, 75 yards. Looked off. Like he just – he had Johnny Holton deep for a touchdown, just missed him completely. He couldn't get this offense going. Didn't target Juju until the second quarter. Once Juju got involved, they started moving the ball. Shocker. Best receiver helps. What are you going to do? For some reason, he has a strange obsession with Ryan Switzer being the number one.
Yeah.
I don't get it. But he just, he didn't look good.
Well, so, we know why, I guess. Hurting, if that's elbow, the reason, he ends up having to get surgery.
Was his elbow messed up last week, too?
Well,
I mean, you heard nothing about it last week, and now all of a sudden, yeah, he's playing bad again in his elbow. So, I guess the biggest story is Mason Rudolph playing the second half.
Looked good.
He looked, well, all right, first career pass, throws an interception.
Really? I didn't even see that. See, I didn't watch. I had
red, his I had first career. On. Here's his biggest mistake. And somebody said this on a podcast I was listening to earlier. He threw the ball and hit Dante Moncrief in the
face. Oh, yeah. Okay. I saw that highlight.
That's his biggest mistake. God.
Yeah. Well, your biggest mistake was believing that Dante Moncrief was an NFL apologize wide receiver.
I am so sorry. Yeah. I'll get to Dante Moncrief in a minute, but Rudolph came in, looked excellent, had two touchdown passes, both of them to Vance McDonald, both on short fields after turnovers, but you can only get what your defense gives you. Yeah. So he finished the game 12 for 19, 112 yards passing, two touchdowns, and one interception. Interception was not on him.
No.
So I can't really blame him for that. But he looked poised. He played well. It's starting to look more like he might start next week.
I think so, yeah.
And
I mean, even if Ben doesn't need surgery, he's going to need rest. So he could possibly be out for at least a few weeks.
Here's the big thing with everybody saying, Ben's done, just retire. This is Mason's team now. Seattle didn't game plan for him.
Yeah.
They came in expecting Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah, so we'll see.
Next week, you have a team that's going to scheme for him. So let's see how he plays. And look,
who
fans
play next
face
week?
49ers.
Okay. 2-0 49ers.
Yeah. The fans need to face this fact. If Ben is healthy, Ben's the starter.
Yeah, he's going to play.
It doesn't matter what Mason does. No. Mason could have won that game. If Ben's healthy, Ben plays.
Yeah.
Simple. So a few more notes. Running game. They just can't get anything established, and it's really, to me, the play calling. They're just calling it in weird places. They're not giving them enough opportunity to really run. James Conner had, like, 11 carries, I think.
Yeah.
Wasn't great. Wide receivers, James Washington had one catch. Juju had five catches for 84 yards, looked better in the second half once he got targeted. So he looked good. But, man, Dante Moncrief is bad. He had one target in that game on
– dropped it. And it
yep,
was
Rudolph's first pass hit him directly in the hands above his head, tipped it back, safety picked it off. Didn't sniff the field after that. So I'll address that at the end, what I think they should do with him. As far as the defense goes, they played a lot better this week. They're still not a good defense.
Was Devin Bush not starting until Williams got hurt?
He did not play until the second quarter.
Is that when
Williams
got hurt? Because it looked like it
was – as soon
as
Williams went down
– Williams and what's-his-face. Yeah.
It was those two. And Devin Bush
– wow, that's not a good
sign. And the crazy thing was Vince Williams had the green dot on his helmet. So that really shows you that they weren't expecting to pull him out of the game. So Bush, I think, had a limited role in this game until Vince Williams went down. Now, with Devin Bush, he had a bad game. He had a really bad game. The two touch.
It's two bad games.
The whole team had a bad game last week. I can't.
Excuse me.
They just got torn apart last week by Brady. This week, they went after him twice with the tight end, and he got beat twice. Tight end just ran right past him. So he had a really awful game. Like I said, didn't play the second quarter, beat twice. The bright spots of this team, the defensive line and TJ Watt. TJ Watt is good.
Awesome.
I mean, he forced the fumble in this game, had a sack. The defensive line, three sacks between all of them. And also, Steven Nelson played really well. When he was on DK Metcalf, shut him down. That touchdown to Metcalf was on Terrell Edmonds, who had an okay game. He had great coverage, but Russell Wilson's good. There's nothing you can do there. So the D played better this week, but my biggest thought with the defense is 3rd and 16. How you let Russell Wilson run for 15 yards. They had no linebackers and no spy on him. Let Devin Bush sit there and just watch him. That's all you got to do.
Spy him.
Cover the middle of the field. If he runs, you take him. So that's awful. Keith Butler, this team is really talented on defense, and he just doesn't know what to do with them. There's too many. He's subbing too much. I don't think a player plays a whole series. They're constantly switching players. He needs to dumb it down. He's in a contract year. I don't see him being brought back.
Who's our offensive coordinator?
Randy Fietner.
I don't think much about him either. No. I don't even know who he was I mean, when you lose, we talked about this all summer, Lena. When you lose those two guys, like, you got to have a plan, man. And he just does not seem like he has any kind of plan on offense.
My thoughts with the offense were there's no identity. They don't have anything established. They come out and they're just tossing it. And then, 3rd and 4, let's run the ball. Oh, you don't think they know that's coming? Like, there's no identity with this team. If you're going to be a run team, run the ball. If you're going to be a pass team, pass the ball. But you're constantly running out of shotgun. You're not using play action. You're doing the same type of passes. Then you force the ball deep. It's hard. Yeah, I don't know. But as far as Dante Moncrief goes, this is the big question. Do they cut him? And if they do, who do they bring in? I looked at some of the stuff. I don't know if they are, because it's 3.5 in dead money if they cut him. And they're already tight against the cap.
Sorry to interrupt. You just said Randy Fichtner was the OC?
Fichtner, whatever
it is. I just got a text from one of our good friends, friend of the pod, Dan Hyman. He said, Randy Fichtner needs fired.
I mean,
and then he said, they all need fired.
Yeah, that was the last thing I was going to get to, is this stat at the end of the – look, nobody's getting fired during the season. Not during the season.
Maybe no C.
Would be Keith Butler.
Coordinators.
That's the only one I could see them just getting rid of, because this is the second year and he's done nothing. And he has the talent there. At least with the offense, you're trying to transition from losing two star players and figure it out. And now you have your star quarterback hurt. So we'll see what happens with that. But, Dante Moncrief, I would say cut him, but the money's going to hurt a little bit. I could honestly see them maybe cutting Ryan Switzer, because he's averaging like 1.7 yards a catch. It's awful. And he lost his punt returning job yesterday. I could see them cutting him and bringing Eli Rogers back, who's a good slot guy. And that's what they need. They have nobody to work the slot to get open. So I could see them maybe bringing him back. But they have to find somebody to give help to Juju to relieve some of that off of Juju.
I know you're not going to want to hear this, but Juju has not been impressive to me at all without that other guy on the other side of the field.
You're absolutely right. He hasn't. But I'm not going to sit here and say Juju's not ready. Juju's not the number one, because Ben's looked awful. Ben's missed a lot of open receivers. And the play calling has been atrocious.
Yeah, I was going to say, the whole offense.
It's just been so out of sync. So Juju has to step up and do something. But he did have 5 receptions for 84 yards yesterday. And most of that came in the second half. He had a long of 45 yards, I think. But he's catching the ball clean. He's running well. I don't know.
Well, they got to do something to get him more involved.
There has to be. It's the scheme. Get him open. Try some bubble screens just to get the ball in his hands. I don't know.
Move him around, get him in the slot.
That's the thing, too. If you put him in a slot, who's your outside guys? You can't trust Moncrief now.
Yeah, but I'm talking about you got to move them around. You motion them in the slot, do different things to get – I mean, who cares who the outside guys are if you're just scheming plays to get Juju the ball?
You're right, but if you don't have a threat – if you don't have the threats on the outside that they still could go to the outside besides Juju, they're just going to keep doubling them on the slot.
Yeah, but it's hard. What I'm saying is that's harder to do.
It is, when, yeah, I get that.
You know, you get – So
yeah,
all right.
Besides that, I think the biggest things that we need to look for next couple of days is what they're going to do on defense, with Moncrief, what's going to go on with Ben, and my last thoughts is Moncrief could end up going to the IR because of his finger, so that could solve that problem. Then they bring in another receiver.
He should go the IR. He should go to the
IR. You're absolutely right, but that dead money is a big factor.
Fuck the IR.
The other thing that I was thinking about, and it's a long shot, but if they do try to trade for Minka Fitzpatrick from the Dolphins, the thing I could see happen is maybe Sean Davis goes to the IR. Because he's dealing with a shoulder. He had the ankle injury, I think it was, at the end of camp, which made him miss last week. So they could end up moving him to the IR and try to trade for Fitzpatrick. I don't know. It's just they got to do something on that defense to get a spark in that secondary because they're playing, they're getting picked apart. So
where's your, on a scale of 1 to 10, panic level? Where are you at right now?
I
guess it depends on Ben.
It was settled down a little bit yesterday after watching Mason play. I thought he'd look.
I mean, but you can't realistically think you're a Super Bowl team or playoff contender with Mason. He's basically a rookie.
Let's say Ben misses 6 games with his elbow. I could see them winning maybe 4 of those.
Ooh, that's generous.
Hey, look.
They haven't even won 1. You're right. I could see them going 2-4 in 6 games.
The other thing is, I wasn't ready for that question, but give me 1 second. I just want to pull up the schedule. Where the hell is it? Keep talking. I don't need no dead air.
I'm just saying what your panic.
I was at a 7-8 yesterday when Ben was starting. I'm like, this is not a good team. Like, they're awful. And then the way Mason came in and he threw that interception on his first play or his first pass. And then he was calm, ran the offense, made some good reads, threw 2 touchdowns in that game and had him in a position to win until the defense let up a 15-yard run on 3rd and 16. So, but say Ben misses the next 6 games. You have San Fran, Cincinnati in Pittsburgh, Baltimore in Pittsburgh, which is a tough one.
Yeah.
Chargers in LA, bye week, and then Miami.
That's not an easy schedule.
It's not, but Miami, I could see him beating. That's week 8, and then you have the bye week. I could see those 2 games. I could see us dropping to Baltimore, and I would say San Diego. Or LA Chargers. San Fran, I could see us beating with him, and I could see us beating Cincy with him.
Yeah.
I do.
Cincy's hot and cold. You never know. They looked good week 1 and looked like the Dolphins.
You're absolutely
yesterday.
Right there. So panic right now, after seeing him play, I would still say it's about a 6-7 because this is a second year guy, 3rd round pick. Who you don't want to have to play because your Hall of Fame quarterback just went down. But Ben didn't look good either and didn't put him in a position to win. So
no.
I would say it's 6-7. Right. And we'll see what other changes come. So,
All right.
You good? Yeah, that's it. Man.
All right. Well, we'll go down to Atlanta. Sunday Night Football, where the Eagles ended up losing 24-20 to the Falcons. Like I said last night, after the game, I was on fire. I was ready to blast everybody in that organization. Then I started thinking about it before the season. I said this could be a potential NFC Championship preview. I was high on the Falcons going into Atlanta when they're desperate. They're an 0-1 team. That wasn't going to be an easy game to win. And then add on the fact that the Eagles lost literally probably their entire offense to injuries, or at least their skill position players. And, you know, and it came down to the end of the game. They had a chance to win. They probably should have won if it wasn't for Nelson Agholor and his bricks for hands. And then they were a half yard short on, you know, with Zach Ertz running that crawl route. But let's get to the beginning of the game. Slow starts, man. Slow starts are absolutely killing the Eagles, and that is on Doug Peterson. He needs to be a more consistent head coach across the board. I don't know what it is with him, but it's, I saw this statistic, 12 out of the last 18 games, they have been scoreless in the first quarter. You can't win. You can't win games that way. You have to go out and just be more consistent offensively and get the ball in the end zone. This is the sixth straight road game they haven't scored. And I know I want to say run the ball more, because they really haven't been. But they only averaged 2.8 yards per carry last night. Like, they tried to run the ball like 20 times and only averaged like 2.8 yards per carry. Something crazy. It was pathetic. Yeah. So they need to fix that running game. Doug needs to just figure this out, how to score points in the first quarter, in the first half. Because, you know, it's been killing them. But like I said, I think a big part of that last night in the first quarter, like, was the injuries. They lost Dallas Goedert before the game even started. Oof. He hurt his calf in warm-ups. And they said all week the plan was – I think, Doug, I saw something on a post-game show he did or whatever, that they were going to do a lot of 12 personnel this week with Goedert and Ertz.
Okay.
He got hurt. So that kind of screws your whole game plan up, you know, if you're losing one of your pieces before the game even starts. So he said they had to adjust to that. And then on top of that, Jeffrey and DeSean Jackson both go down in the first like series or two in the game. They played 15 total snaps.
So
right off the bat,
three receivers. Lose three receivers.
Yeah, three of your top six pass catchers on the team. Gone. So that leaves you with Alshon, it was a calf, and DeSean, it was a groin. So we're waiting to hear about those. You know, they can either be minor, or these guys could be end up missing weeks, and then shit, what the hell, you know?
Yeah.
So that left us with Mac Hollins, who was like a fourth round pick a few years ago, missed all of last year, and then JJ Arcega-Whiteside, the rookie, who did not have a good game.
No.
I don't know what it was. He played 75 snaps and only had one catch for 4 yards.
Hmm.
Wentz had a hard time connecting with these dudes. I don't know if it's because just a lack of practice or what, but he looked completely off trying to throw to them.
It was weird.
But I'll get to Wentz. Okay. Let me, a couple more injuries here. Corey Clement ended up injuring his shoulder on a kick return. He's going to be out probably for a while. They said he was in a sling, but this could be the biggest injury. Timmy Jernigan was in a walking boot last night with another foot injury. Mm. This has to be like the sixth foot injury this team has occurred. Last week they lost Malik Jackson, their D tackle next to Fletcher. Mm. But, you know, I felt pretty good. They had Tim Jernigan, who was our starting D tackle in the Super Bowl. I said he's back healthy this year. He has a lot to prove. And now he's down with a foot injury. Don't know how serious it is.
Yeah.
But he was in a walking boot. You know, it's not like. So who knows? He might be out for the year now. And we're down to our fourth and fifth D tackles next to Fletcher Cox. Guys, that one guy just got signed last week. You know?
Yeah, because of the Jackson injury, yeah.
So on top of that, then there was multiple injuries throughout the game. Wentz was out for a few plays getting checked for a concussion. Sidney Jones was out for a few plays getting checked with a concussion. I think Kelsey was out for a few plays getting checked for a concussion. So it was like the body bag game, dude. It was every other play. You're like, what the hell is going on? Where's half our team at? But even after all that, they hung in there. They showed heart. They played tough. The defense played really well, except for the final touchdown they gave up to Julio. That was just a good play by them.
Yeah.
The Eagles were just bringing a zero pressure blitz. They had to start dialing it up in the second half because they couldn't get to Matt Ryan with their front four. They recognized it and threw a screen pass, and there was no safeties or anybody over top.
Yeah, it was such a well-designed play. It was perfect.
They checked into it.
Yeah.
Matt Ryan said after the game that he saw they were bringing the blitz, checked over to Julio, and then you're not catching him.
No.
You know what I mean?
No.
Got a couple good blocks, was gone. And even then, there were still two and a half minutes left or something like that, and they could have scored to win. But that, let me get to Wentz here. I don't know if he was hurt in the first half. He took a few big shots. I saw he took a shot in his knee that was repaired, his ACL knee. Took a big shot to the chest and looked like he was grabbing at his ribs.
Yeah, when was the rib shot?
I don't know. That was early in the first quarter, okay. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, where he jumped and dude just hit him directly in the ribs and knocked him down.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't know if it was, like I said, the lack of a connection with the receivers that were out there because he was playing with all the backups. But he was only 6-for-16 with 47 yards and 2 interceptions in the first half.
Oof.
And he just looked completely off. And I, like I said, I think it was a multitude of things. I think he was hurting some. I think the offensive line did a terrible job. Isaac Seumalo, I don't even know how he's starting. Like, I know he played better last year, but he got pushed back in that pocket so many times. It was ridiculous. Jason Peters looked terrible last night, too.
Yeah. Oh, so yeah, he got hurt, too.
Yeah, he came back. Okay. He was only out like a play.
Yeah.
But, I don't know what the offensive line was doing last night, but they looked terrible, and that kind of, I think that played in, with Wentz looking terrible. But I will say he really toughed it out in the second half.
Yeah.
Man. He showed some toughness that he can come out there and keep firing away and keep playing and keep grinding. And he gave the team a chance to win when it was all said and done. He gave them a chance to win twice in the fourth quarter. He drove them down the field, scored the go-ahead touchdown, and got a 2-point conversion to put them up 20-17. Then obviously, Julio had that big 54-yard touchdown, screen pass. But then they had the chance. They had the 2-minute warning and 2 timeouts. They were driving down the field. I'm pretty sure the first or second play, he dropped a dime to Nelson Aguilar, screaming down the sideline.
It was the first play.
With nobody. It was, it was the first play after the 2-minute warning. Yeah. It was like second and one or something like that.
He was walking.
He was gone. He was walking in. Yeah, he beat the corner, and the safety was running up, and he was already past him. It hit him right in his hands. After the game, he blamed it on the lights.
Okay. All right. I wanted to address that.
He said he lost it in the lights.
I saw that.
Like, get out of here, dude.
Somebody directly asked him, did you lose it in the lights? And he said, yeah, that messed me up, but I take blame for that. I should have caught
the ball. I get that. He should have said no.
I understand what you're saying, but it's...
No, the lights didn't mess you up.
I get it, but...
That's pathetic. Dude.
Somebody asked him. So it's not like he came out, I lost it in the lights, it's not my fault. Somebody asked him.
Even if he asked him, then you say, no, I didn't lose it. I dropped the damn ball because I suck.
Look.
I need to be a better football player because I'm making $9 million a year.
It's a shame. Like, he should have cut... It's awful that he dropped that.
I could have caught that
ball.
He had
a good game outside.
That was a perfect... Pass.
It was. It was right on his hand. And he was 8-for-107 and a touchdown. He had a good game.
And he lost
outside
again.
Of that.
I don't care.
I understand.
He could have had one catch for 8 yards and 0 touchdowns, but he lost the game because of that play.
Yeah.
And it.
Well, and Zach Ertz doesn't know how to run to the sticks.
Yeah, I'll get to that. He thought he was across. He needed to get an extra half yard.
Yeah, but Aguilar,
a good play call. Play that works for them.
Huge drop.
He did. Yeah, I was going to say, Aguilar had that huge drop. And then, there probably would have been enough time for the Falcons to get the ball and go try to do something again. But still, that would have been another go-ahead touchdown by Wentz. Perfect throw.
But it would have been a big answer to the Julio touchdown. Yeah. It gives your defense some life. And
Wentz had it. He was giving them a chance to win this game. Then, so they kept driving. I will say Aguilar redeemed himself. It was like a 4th-and-13 play.
Huge.
Wentz was getting hit in the pocket, tossed it up, hit Aguilar down the field for a big play that gave us a first down.
He went up and covered the red zone. Got that. It was a good catch.
Yeah. So, yeah, lights didn't seem to bother him on that one.
You wanted to murder him last night.
Yeah, but then you know they got into like another 4th and 8 situation. He hit Zach Ertz on a curl, and unfortunately, he came up a half yard short. So
close. Oof, was that
it hurts. It hurts me inside. I was so bummed because after the injuries and all that stuff, they just fought so hard that you felt like they were going to win the game, and they just came up a little short. But like I said, I can't be too mad. It's a tough place to play in Atlanta. There's 14 more games left this year. The Eagles are going to be fine.
Yeah, you guys won a game.
That's going to – yeah. Yeah. I'm going to – it's going to come down between them and Dallas in the division. Dallas is a good football team. It kills me to say this.
They are looking.
But they're a good football team. But they also have a cupcake schedule. They play the Dolphins next week. They started with the Giants. The Giants and the Dolphins might be the two worst teams in football.
Hey, don't count the Dolphins. How many points they scored so far this year?
Yeah.
10?
Yeah, 10. They've been outscored 107 to 10 or something like that. Unbelievable. Yeah, they played the Giants, the Redskins, and the Dolphins. So let's pump the brakes a little bit on the Cowboys until they start playing some real teams.
Yeah.
And they also have the Saints coming up Drew Brees probably going to be out for half the year or something like that.
Yeah, that just broke. He has a torn ligament in his hand.
Does he really?
Undergo surgery for torn ligament, right thumb, likely out 6 weeks.
6 weeks.
Yeah.
I'd put it maybe even longer than that. So now they get the Saints without Drew Brees. That was one of their biggest games in this. So I don't care. The Cowboys can win 13 games and they'll lose the first round of the playoffs. It's what always happens. They're losers. They've been losers for the past 30 years and they'll continue to be losers.
Yeah.
So, I'm feeling all right. I got to see what's going on with these injuries. If Alshon and Deshaun are out for a while and Goddard, I don't know what they're going to do. It's going to.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? They go.
The other thing I was going to say, Ertz was banged up too in that game.
Yeah, he said he was fine after the game, though. He said he just took a shot.
He's a tough dude. Yeah, but he was limping after the game into the locker room.
Everybody was. Yeah. Body bag game.
yeah. But I'm saying
they got beat up.
That's
man.
Your number but one right now.
I got to see what's going on with Alshon, Deshaun, and Jernigan.
Yeah.
I swear, this team's like cursed, man. It's like the football gods gave us our Super Bowl a couple years ago. And then they're like, well, now we're just going to F you for the next 20 years again because and your entire team's going to be hurt. Last year, we literally lost all our corners. This year, it seems like it's going to be our pass catchers.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't know what it is. I don't know if the trainers are just terrible. I don't know if they're medical staff and but it's every single year.
Yeah. And they are
crushed with injuries and it's disheartening.
Yeah.
I can't even remember the last time they went a game without losing a player, significant player.
Yeah, and it's scary, too, with Wentz getting banged up again, too. Even if it's minor, bruised ribs or whatever.
Yeah, that was, like, my worst nightmare.
Yeah.
He's got it, but it was good to see him. I'm sorry, it was good to see him. Even if he has broken ribs, I'm glad to see that he came back out and played the whole game.
But, I mean, on a positive note, too, when McCown came in, he looked good. I think he only threw
but
five passes.
I don't ever
want to
see McCown again the rest of the year.
I understand. I do. But, I mean, he's no Nick Foles. But
I'd say right now my panic level's at about a 3.
Okay.
But if it comes out Wednesday that Alshon, Deshaun, Jernigan are all going to miss 5, 6 weeks or whatever,
time.
8 weeks, my panic level's going to be at like an 8.
Okay.
Because you can't just take – you can't lose two of your – two best receivers. Like Deshaun is what makes that offense go, and I know he always has an injury history, and I know something was going to happen at some point. It just sucks to see it happen in week 2, and when it's a guy like that about speed and it's a groin injury, it's not like a a broken rib or something. I don't know, it's his legs, it's the way, like,
yeah, it's what he does.
Yeah, like,
that's what he needs,
you know. Alshon's big slow ass needs to go out there with his hurt calf and just go catch some passes.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, if these guys are off for extended period of time, you guys are going to make a move. Like they're gonna have to bring somebody in
because last night we had when Ertz went out last night for a couple plays, we had no tight ends and only I think three receivers.
Yeah, that Mac Hollins. Yeah. He looked okay.
He's not bad.
He was making some tough catches for you guys. I think he finished with like 5 for 50.
Yeah. So we'll see.
Not awful.
We'll see what's going on.
Number one.
They got the Lions next week who they beat LA. So, you know, the Lions.
Yeah.
You never know with them. But it's in Philly, so I feel a little bit more confident. We'll get to that in our preview pod coming up sometime this week. Yeah. Not sure how we're going to do that yet. We might have like a split recording.
Okay. We'll talk. We'll just figure
if we can't get together, I might have to record mine separately and Jay might have to record his and then we'll
post it.
We'll get it together.
There will be a second one this week. We just got to figure out the logistics of it.
Yeah. Cause I go back to work and me and Jay work different shifts. So
yeah,
it's hard for us to get together then, but
we'll figure it out.
All right, Jay, let him know.
Yeah, thanks for joining us this week. Please follow us on Twitter at birds_berg. Follow us on the Facebook page, Birds in the Berg Podcast. Please leave messages on there, comments, anything. Please like, review, and subscribe on all podcasting sites, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere you can get your podcast. Yeah, send us any questions, comments, anything on any of those sites, and we'll gladly answer.
All right. Thanks again for listening. That was episode 16 of the Birds in the Berg Football Podcast. We will catch you guys with our preview show this week.